It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. I'm Mark Yeagy, your host. So glad you're here. Today, we have Will Basta. He's an LA native and forward-thinking entrepreneur, and he brings a wealth of experience in e-commerce, venture capital, and digital innovation to the show. As the co-founder of ACV Partners, an e-commerce management, logistics, and marketing firm, Will contributes strategic insight and leadership to build brands and grow online businesses for savvy investors. With over a decade of success in leading startups and driving growth, he exemplifies the ability to create meaningful change in the ever-evolving digital landscape. A lot of stuff going on in the digital landscape. Welcome, Will. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Let's talk about where you are, where you came from, that kind of stuff. Not physically, but like where you are in business and what you're doing today to help the world.
Of course. I think I'll just sort of, I'll start with the origination piece, if you don't mind. I think it's a good sort of give you some context on how we got to where we are as an organization and how I got to where I am, right? I started in the tech industry, technically the tech industry within the corporate structure. I worked for DaVita, so I was in health tech early in my career. And then I sort of moved to more of a startup environment, which I like to say there's a lot of parallels that can be drawn between being an entrepreneur and obviously working for an entrepreneur, which is generally what a startup vibe can be if it's a smaller, more intimate setting, reporting to a CEO, seeing, you know, curveballs coming left and right, you know, seeing how they act on them and that. And so I was in that industry still, but I sort of liked the fast paced piece of it. During that period of time, I was getting involved in aspects in the digital space, some a little bit more than others. I opened my first Amazon business circa 2014. So it's been about 10 years since I had my first product on Amazon. That was some kind of pet toy that I developed. It was for cats and dogs a while ago. But the beauty of that, it wasn't the most major success, but I got to learn the back end of the industry and sourcing logistics pieces of that. And essentially that led to a few other different ventures here and there within different platforms in e-commerce throughout the years. And I had a lot of success in a few other ventures in that space. And then my business partner and I, who also had an e-commerce background, we came together in around 2019. We were seeing these companies that were, there's probably a couple of companies at that point that were doing Amazon businesses for investors, sort of that as a service. We all know a lot of times investors don't have time. They're looking to diversify. They're looking to tap into other markets. They're not the experts. They just want to sort of get involved in something and have a partner to do it with, right? So the model on the surface out in 2009 that we were seeing was essentially that with a profit sharing type of system. Looks beautiful on the surface. What we realized and what we discovered and understood in that is that the companies that were doing it, they were sort of broken. If you sort of looked under the hood in terms of their infrastructure, pretty much how they were built. And it was sort of doing a disservice to looking at e-commerce as really an asset, right? And so that's where the light bulb turned on. We said, hey, we can literally do this better. We can flip the script on how this approaches. And we've already been doing this for a while. Let's test this out as a service. That's where we launched early 2020, just before the pandemic, believe it or not. During that period of time, what we did different, vertical alignment in terms of employees, not outsourcing third parties where there's no fluidity within the company, making sure you have control over that because that's has a trickle-down effect of how the client experiences everything, right? Having our own warehouses, which we still currently have today in the Texas region and also other locations, but that's where our original warehousing was for our facility because e-commerce is more than just being on Amazon or whatever platform. There is a lot underneath it if you want to scale and be efficient, right? And so anyone can start an Amazon business, but can you make it to 7-8 figures? That's where you need a team and you need infrastructure. And so we built it out that way with a different approach. It caught on a lot of word of mouth in 2020. And then in 2021 is when we really went full steam. We did outbound marketing and we grew to where we are today. The initial offer was always just building for investors and people that don't have that time. The commonality is they want to get involved. They want some sort of a passive as can be, income stream, right? And to supplement their income, and they can be in all different financial levels, some a little bit higher than others. But we really looked at legitimizing an Amazon business originally as an asset that's sustainable, that can appreciate in value over time. And now where we are today, obviously our prices have changed, our business has grown. We have over 1,000 stores that we've built, hundreds of clients, coast to coast infrastructure. We're in three different countries and we still work on the Amazon platform. We do Amazon private label brand development for investors. We are a corporate partner of TikTok Shop. We do Walmart as well, which is a massively emerging marketplace competing with Amazon. And we do Etsy. And so we do all of these and we do a portfolio model for investors with the same mindset of passive income and a profit split based on our performance, startup costs for the investor. And essentially on the other side is when we make them money, that's when we make money. So that's it in a nutshell without taking up too much time in the intro.
Yeah. So let's boil that down because that's really interesting. I think you covered a lot of different things and a lot of different things you do. Let's bring it to a case study. Let's say that I'm I want to start a business, right? And I've got this widget and I come to you. What are you going to help me do with it from that point? Or am I off base that I wouldn't come to you as a startup? I think you said startup. So maybe I would.
No, it's startup capital. So the clients that work with us are, we have lawyers, we have, a lot of real estate investors. We have teachers, retirees, veterans. I mean, people that just have liquidity, they're financially comfortable, right? Yeah. And they don't have to have a product idea or anything. They come with startup capital. We are the operational consultants. We do literally everything. We source products, we develop products, we have contracts with large brands, whether it be something like a Neutrogena, a Tide detergent, grocery items to skincare products. I mean, you sort of name it. We just know what makes money. So 90% of the time, people aren't coming to us with brands. That can happen. We do that on a unique basis. But obviously, we can't take everything on because we know it makes money. And sometimes people come to us with a product that won't be successful and we have to be blunt with them, right? So generally, what we're getting are people that don't have any e-commerce experience. They just have time. They have no time to do it. And they have money and they want to diversify. And they want to have a digital asset. And we call it digital real estate because it is. It does appreciate, right? It's a piece of real estate online. And so the use case would be you're coming to us, you have, let's say you have $50,000 you want to put into something. That's the startup capital that I mentioned. That gets paid to us. And essentially what we do from there is we build out the business, the brand, you own the asset. And we essentially do everything from sourcing to management of the business, customer service on the storefront. It's literally as hands-off as can be after the first 30 days. Obviously you own the asset, so there's some paperwork and basic stuff around that. But your job is really to be the financial driver and to make sure you can deploy more capital into products as your business is scaling. These margins can be pretty high. So
what product, Will? What product?
We do every kind of category. So what does really well on platforms like Amazon and platforms like Walmart are we're big on the grocery side of things, which is obviously as close as it can be to recession proof. So everyday household consumables, detergent, toothpaste, things you sell, those fly off the shelf and we're contracted with big brands on that side, right? And so we're buying it wholesale for clients, selling it out of margin, being contracted to sell it. So it could be anything in the grocery side, but then we also do, whether it be automotive categories, stuff like that, if we're reselling other brands, if we're developing, which is the more sophisticated side that we build on, you have to have a little more capital, but that's what really brings the asset appreciation is private label development. That's what we're developing. Anything in like the homeware, kitchenware, patio, garden, stuff like that, where we actually get it manufactured and we brand it for the client. And that's where you get asset appreciation over time on top of your revenue, right? We are really big also in the wellness space. The supplement space is it's a $1 trillion industry. And so there's high margins in that. And people can say it's saturated, but if you can execute it right, you have the right infrastructure and contacts, you can truly build out a really strong skincare or supplement brands, and that can grow substantially and that can have a really large exit value. So we have sort of all different levels of sophistication.
Got it. So you can create your own private label brand. Like if I wanted to create a line of skincare or vitamin products, you could help me do that.
Absolutely. Or you can come and just say, hey, I want to do private label fully. And we essentially, we'll do the research. We know what's going to do well. And you can present a couple options and then we go with it from there. Got it. We normally do a product line.
Interesting.
Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
And so from the investor side, what kind of a return are you looking at in general? I know it depends, but
yeah.
How long a return of capital or break even?
Of course. So obviously there's a lot of different variances here, but if we look at across the board based on the business model that we're running, so if we just say Amazon, which is everyone knows what Amazon is, right? If you're looking at Amazon and you're looking at private label, which is us developing a product, with product development, there is some type of ad spend. Otherwise, there's not. That ad spend can cut into the margin a little bit, but the beauty of it is you're not competing against the same brand, another seller that's selling the same thing because you own the brand. So we're looking at margins 25% or more on that. That's on products sold. So if you're selling through 10,000 units and it's priced at $10 a month, whatever that is, I mean, you guys can do the math on that. It's 25% on the product that you bought of a return, right? And so where we're at with that, that is obviously, there's other models like TikTok, for example, Shop, which is a great model that actually does really well with a marriage with Amazon. That model itself, because there's much less sellers on it and it's got a very unique algorithm, we're looking at a 30% plus margin on products, and we can resell products that we already have on hand in our facilities. We've got a facility in Orlando, one in Dallas, where we keep about $500,000 worth of product that we know does well across multiple platforms. And we can list those on client stores and fulfill once they're sold and then charge the client afterwards. And those can be upwards of 30% margin. Now, if we get to where you can break even, that is where there's a big range, because I would say the first 3 months are obviously the slowest when it comes down to this. You're still building out a business. We get sales is pretty early, within the first 30 days of launching on pretty much every store we have. We want to make sure we do that. And we actually have that in our agreement with clients, because we want to make sure that they know that we're doing stuff fast for them, right? But at the same time, we have to develop things and go do it the proper route, right? And so we're building out a favorable algorithm on these platforms like Amazon, et cetera, while we're getting some sales to show that there's traction, right? Because the first sale is what starts appreciation with the business. You can open an Amazon store. If you have no sales for 1 year and the next year you get your first sale, that's when the true date of the store is actually considered of like where the value starts to grow. So that being said, let's say the first three months are a little bit slow. It kicks into gear 3 to 6, and then really 80% of your revenue in year one comes the second half of the first 12 months. And we have clients on average, if you are putting in, obviously the 6 to 12 month period is when you can deploy more. Some people have 20K a month they can put in. Some have 50. We have one client that's doing insane profits. He's got over 6 figures that rotates every 1 to 2 months on product, and his margins are pretty high, right? We've seen people break even as early as 9 months. Sometimes it can take upwards of 16, 17 months, 18 months. If you compare that to real estate, obviously that's substantial, right? In terms of timeframes. But it depends on the model that you're running, what platform you have, and what kind of working capital you have to deploy in, because you're getting paid out biweekly. So let's say you have a business credit line of 100K, right? We can't just do 100K the first month. It just doesn't work like that. You have to grow to that. But you can do that most likely the second half of the year. But essentially you're selling, and the first half of that gets sold gets paid out back by Amazon to your bank account about 2 weeks in, right? And so you're getting part of it back at a margin. Where we charge our clients is essentially, if you put in 100K, let's say you've been around, we're going through 100 six figure like that, and you make back in that 30 days, we do the accounting on that. If you make back $120,000 and there's a net profit of 20K, we're invoicing you off a percentage of that 20K. That's where we're performance-based, right? So we're incentivized to grow it, obviously. Like, it's not us just taking a startup and then just like sort of fucking off. Sorry for my French. right? Because that's I grew my business experience when I worked in healthcare. One of the companies I worked for, what I really liked about what they were doing is it was a performance-based model based on what, and there's a lot of intricacies with this, but that's why we sort of really, I resonate with this, and I think a lot of people do, because if you're going in on a partnership, that term can get thrown around a lot. But if the actual partner that you're working with is truly incentivized by the performance that they're doing, they have skin in the game, right? That matters a lot. Obviously, yeah. It depends on what you're involved in. And so that's why, you know, that's why I think it's a good model for people going into an alternative space, knowing that it's not just, hey, I'm just tossing money into some random stock that's alternative or whatever. You're actually going into an alternative market, but you have a partner who's doing it and has done it for 10 years.
So kind of to summarize, you guys do the whole soup to nuts kind of deal. You help people start a business, give the business plan, give a, you know, product plan, marketing plan. You actually do the marketing, the algorithm searches, yeah. Probably keyword searches. If you're doing Amazon, it's a pretty large search engine. And then you do fulfillment and you take a piece of the action when it comes to profit. So what are the downsides? It sounds like you guys do a lot. What are some of the downsides?
Of course. Yeah. I could talk about risks and stuff like that. I mean, also just to add to that, we've had a lot of clients, the exit piece of it too. If someone ever wants to exit down the line, we will help them with the transition exit plan. Some people can sell, you can sell our management service with it, or you can just sell the asset business, right? So we assist with that piece too. We can broker it or we don't have to, right? But yeah, in terms of risks, there's a few different things, right? And it depends. We used to do wholesale only for Amazon in the US. And just recently, in the last 6 to 8 months, we stopped bringing on new clients for that while we manage our current clients, because obviously the market has changed a little bit. When I say the market has changed, the seller market on Amazon has evolved. The supply chain and distributor market has sort of evolved, right? And we're as connected or more connected than any other provider in this space when it comes down to wholesale, because we were built as a wholesale distributor first, right? When I say that it's changed, I mean, there's more resellers are getting more access to products from wholesalers. So exclusivity is not the same as it used to be. And on top of it, you're always at mercy for a supplier. And so a supplier can, if you're putting, say you buy 50K of product up front on wholesale, this is for wholesale, you're doing 50K up front of product, that supplier says there's a 30-day lead time, and out of nowhere, it turns into 90 days. You just gave 50K and you're waiting 90 days to get the product in to even sell it.
Right.
That's a risk of wholesale. We do not do wholesale anymore. That's why we've transitioned to fulfillment on demand, and we have 500K of product in our warehouses rotating. So we already have it on hand. So we mitigate that for clients, but we saw that issue and we decided we're moving off that, right? Unless there's someone that comes in with a lot of capital, then we could sort of move some parts and make that not happen as a risk. So there's that factor, right? So there's the factor of supply chain delays, which is can lock up your cash for a little bit. And then you're also on a third party platform. Obviously our job is to stay on top of it, right? But these platforms evolve and they change. Amazon, again, for wholesale, another thing of why we moved off it, they collect a lot of data. They've got more money than anyone. So they can purchase you and outsell you on products at any moment, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're buying 50K of a brand that does well, out of nowhere the next day, maybe Amazon signed the same Hershey's chocolate syrup and they're undercutting you by $3 out of nowhere. It's like, how the hell are they doing that, right? So that can happen. That's obviously like a little bit of a gut punch, and then it doesn't last forever. So that's the risk on the Amazon platform for wholesale. That's why we like building brands on that and running other models with that to supplement the revenue quickly. Because when you have your own brand, no one can make your own brand. You can make similar products, but if you're doing it the right way, you're winning with that, right? That's why we've seen the market evolve and we wanted to double down on that. And that's our main premier offer for clients on the Amazon side. So there's that risk of being, and there's policy changes, all that. You can always have these kind of things happen. But at the end of the day, we've done our best to reduce the risk for clients. And we do this by guaranteeing their upfront, right? So if you invested a certain amount of money or you paid a certain amount on startup, we now have enough data as a company where we can assume the risk and say, you will make that back at a minimum. And if you don't, we'll pay you the difference in the contract term. We've done our best to decrease as much risk as possible for clients with our programs. And we we generally have an update with that every 6 months or something new, where we see something that, hey, this is something that we can change and we can assume the risk for the client based on, we got some people behind the scenes with data that understand that if we put this guarantee in, the chances are very minimal based on what we've done, but it can make someone who's coming into the space, who's new, feel more comfortable, right? Getting sales within the first 30 days. If you buy inventory and you're buying any inventory up front, we have a 90-day buyback. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't sell, or if it doesn't sell or anything in 90 days, we can refund it or replace it. We have these kind of things that are built into our agreements, and it's not like they've always been like that, right? When we first started, we had none of those. Now we can do that. And I think that makes the offer and makes the partnership feel safer on the other side of the table. So
pretty cool. Well, listen, it sounds fascinating actually, but I'm sure there's a lot of things that people need to know before they start investing. So where can we send people to find out more about you and what you guys do and you know, get involved with you? And by the way, that we don't make recommendations of any of our guests, but we do encourage you to, you know, seek them out, do your research and see if there's a match. So tell us.
Of course. I mean, we're at the point now too, where it's not bringing a lot of volume of clients on purposely. It's more of, is there that long-term fit, right? Because we are global now. We just got into the Dubai market recently. But again, if someone is interested in having a call to learn about how we do things, it's ecom with ACV is our Instagram. That's ECOM with ACV. Just how it sounds, ACV. And then you have our website, www.ecomwithacv.io. Those are our two platforms where you can book a call and also learn about educational stuff. Same thing with our YouTube. There's a lot of stuff there. And then the company itself has a lot of things that we're doing in other markets. You might have international listeners. So if you're in the EU market, UK market, or if you're in the UAE market, which is Dubai, there are opportunities in all of those, and they're highly emerging marketplaces. Even if you are US-based, we can do that for our clients, which is sort of exciting. That's essentially where you can find us and learn more.
Pretty cool. Will Basta, thank you so much for being a part of the Wealth Architect podcast, and hope we see each other down the road. Sounds like a lot of information that people can digest and maybe a way to turn some passive income into some exciting income. So
for sure. Appreciate you for having me. Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks for your time and your wisdom. And those of you who are listening and watching, thanks again for tuning into the Wealth Architect podcast. Remember what I always say, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. See you next time. Have a great day. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.